I have just recently been involved in helping a dear brother in the Lord who's English, who came in desperate need of help. And I believe I was able to help him. He needed deliverance. And as I prayed for him, I began to see into Britain, into England. And I saw something very, very dark, gloomy, sinister, proud, incestuous. It was like a revelation of a tunnel. And as I looked down it, I knew I was looking down my own background. I don't believe that's ever really been dealt with in England. I have a feeling there's going to come some kind of an avalanche of the Holy Spirit on England that's going to throw up all the debris. Religion covers things over. The Holy Spirit blows them to the surface. I have an uneasy feeling that God has started to show me this because I'm going to be in some way involved. Believe me, I have not volunteered. What I'm trying to say is, your background is part of you. Take another example, and now I think I can take this without being accused of being prejudiced. Take the Jewish people. One of the biggest personal problems that we've found we have to deal with in people is rejection. Rejection by a parent, rejection by a husband, rejection by a wife. And we find that that's the deepest wound in many people's hearts. Have you ever stopped to think what it's like to have been rejected everywhere for 19 centuries? The Bible says that the light of the sun will be like 7 days in the day when the Lord binds up the wound of his people. I don't think that the human mind can comprehend the depth of healing that's going to be needed to heal that. And I am confident the only one who can do it is God himself. But again, I have 6 adopted Jewish daughters. Many of you know that. Believe me, the longer they live, the more Jewish they are. And none of them were brought up in Judaism. You can't understand them till you know how Jewish people think. One of the things that really draws me is getting inside people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's really by revelation of the Holy Spirit. At times, the Holy Spirit shows me where a person's at, where they're coming from, what wounds they carry, what makes them tick. God doesn't look as man looks. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Charles Finney said, I suppose if God were to reveal to the sinner the true condition of his heart, he would not be able to survive the sight. Aren't you glad that God doesn't show you all of you in one look? He deals with you, opens up one area, says, let's take care of that, and you think, no, I'm all right. The Lord says, wait a minute. There's just a few more things that I want to tell you about yourself. All right, how to get out of it. I just have to say, I hope I've had the mind of the Lord. I really do. Because I haven't had any liberty to start on how to get out of it until this moment. I think there ought to be a graph made of my preaching when the Holy Spirit and I are not in completely in one mind about which way I ought to go. It would be something like that. But usually the Holy Spirit ends up on top. All right, now, how to deal with your problem. I want to suggest 4 verbs, which in the English language all begin with the letters R-E. Recognize, repent, renounce, resist. Say them again. Recognize, repent, renounce, resist. See, what I've been trying to do tonight is to enable you to recognize. I think when you've recognized, you're about 80% of the way to what you need. Recognize, repent, repent of your own involvement. Repent of your family's involvement. Repent of your nation's involvement. Repent of the church's involvement. There have been a number of countries where I believe, been used of God to release the church in that country from its dark shadow of guilt for the way it's treated the Jewish people. I don't believe the church can ever become what God says in the Bible it should be until we've dealt with the fact of the way we've treated the Jews. That's not my purpose to deal with that tonight. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. That's good news. But don't forget, you cannot resist the devil until you've submitted to God. If you don't have God on your side, you're not strong enough to resist the devil. And you only get God on your side when you submit. All right. Now, establish a clear scriptural basis. I'm going to give you, would you believe it, 7 steps. How did that happen? I wanted to give you a clear scriptural basis for your release. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, we've already looked at that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Okay? That's the ultimate basis. Ephesians 1, 7, in him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. All right, redemption means what? It means being bought back. You were in the hand of Satan. You were in the devil's slave market, exposed for sale. The news of the gospel is Jesus walked in, paid your price, and redeemed you. Set you free with his blood. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. It's worth reading that. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Our inheritance is in the light, and in the light there is no darkness. Darkness and light don't mix. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Bear that in mind. We were in the domain of darkness. Through the cross, God transferred us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption means you've been delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Okay? 1 John 3, 8, verse, section B, that's the second half of the verse, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? Various reasons. But in relation to the works of the devil, that he might destroy them, do away with them, annihilate them, terminate them, finish with them. And Luke 10, 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When I get people delivered from arthritis, one of the things I get them to do if they've had it in their lower limbs, I say, now stamp on the devil. And usually if they've had pain, they get very gingerly. I said, that's not hard enough. Do it with all your might. Okay, let's go through those scriptures again very rapidly. Galatians 3, 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Ephesians 1, 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, 12, let's do the central part only. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We were in that kingdom, now we're in this kingdom. What's in between? The cross. The cross is God's great stop sign. When the devil sees the cross, he has to stop. There's no way he can get past the cross. He can't get over it, he can't get under it, he can't get round it. It's a barrier that he cannot surmount. 1 John 3:8, second part. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Luke 10:19, if you can say it with me, you're welcome to do so. I say it in the King James Version, but it's the same basically in all. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. One thing you can be sure, if Jesus promised that nothing would hurt us, we can be sure that something would try to. God never gives empty promises. When God says three times in one message, thou shalt not be afraid, believe me, friend, there's going to be something ahead that would make you afraid. That's right. So when the Lord says nothing shall hurt you, it tells us a lot of things would like to hurt us. Okay. That's step one. Step two, confess your faith in Christ. He's the high priest of our confession. No confession, no high priest. You keep quiet, you tie his hands, you stop his mouth. You've got to say it out loud. Out loud is my addition, but anyhow, do it. Number three, commit yourself to obedience. You remember what's the great basic requirement for blessing? Hearing and doing. Number four, confess any known sins of yourself or the people with whom you're involved, whether it's your family, your racial group, your nation. Don't dig around for sins. Believe me, if you dig, you'll never stop and stop digging. But let the Holy Spirit show you what's relevant. Forgive all other persons. That's required. Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You are not entitled to claim more forgiveness from God than you offer to other people, proportionately. Renounce all contact with the occult. And maybe contact not but that you've made, but people that in some way you're involved with. Your parents, whoever it may be. Just comes to my mind, and I really don't know why this comes to my mind, but I have to trust that it may be from God. Lydia and I, years back in Atlanta, Georgia, got involved with the Croft family, Jim Croft's parents, himself, his sister. All of them got delivered in various ways. But when Jim's sister, who's now married to Mike Ford in Tuscaloosa, when Jim's sister came, and Lydia doesn't know anything, or didn't, who knows what she knows now. Anyhow, she didn't know anything about American college life or culture. But she just looked at Candy, that's the name of Jim's sister. She said, what's that ring on your finger? Oh, she said, that's nothing, just my sorority ring. Well, Lydia said, you better take that off. And there was a real struggle. She took it off. And all hell broke loose. It was a contract, if you see what I'm saying. See, I was in a, you might be amazed at this, but I was in a sorority once. I was invited to go and have a meal, I think it was lunch or dinner, I forget what, and blessed the food. This was in, I think it was in Ole Miss. And I listened to what they said. They were making vows, you know. And I don't know who they were vowing to. But I'm sure some of them weren't vowing to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the amazing thing was Lydia's insight. Because she didn't know anything about sorority. If you told her what she handed her one on a plate, she wouldn't have known what it was. She said, what's that ring? And Candy's father went and threw it as far as he could throw it away. It was a really expensive ring. But it changed her life. So, who knows? You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit knows. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to say this once more, and then I don't know what I'm going to do next. Number one, establish a clear scriptural basis. Number two, confess your faith in Christ. Number three, commit yourself to obedience. By the grace of God. God knows you may make a few mistakes. That's all right, as long as your heart is set to obey. Number four, confess any known sins by yourself or the group that you're part of. Number five, forgive all other persons. And I think if you belong to a race that has been persecuted, so the Jews, the blacks, the American Indians, you may have to forgive all the people that persecuted your race. I probably told you the story about a dear brother who's a veterinarian, known to many of us, seeking deliverance from Don Basham. He could not get delivered till he forgave the entire IRS. How many of you can understand that? All right, forgive all other persons. Number six, renounce all contact with the occult. Any books that are questionable, don't keep them. Take them out and burn them. Or get rid of them in such a way that nobody else gets hold of them. I make it a principle, unless there is a strong reason. Some books contain information that I need, like I have one or two books that tell me some aspects of the faith of Islam. But as a general rule, I make it a principle not to keep anything in my house that dishonors Jesus Christ. There's a lot of books that you wouldn't call wicked, but they don't dishonor him. And I wouldn't want somebody to come into my house and get hooked on those books, so why should I keep them? Release yourself in the name of Jesus. I think I better go through again. This time I will not pause and comment on any of them. Number one, establish a clear scriptural basis. Number two, confess your faith in Christ. Number three, commit yourself to obedience. Number four, confess and renounce sins. Number five, forgive all other persons. Number six, renounce all contact with the occult. Number seven, release yourself in the name of Jesus. Now, it's obvious we're going to have to do something about that. And I have to just trust that the Holy Spirit, in spite of my weaknesses, has somehow got through to you. And that in some way or other, you are now aware, if you have a problem, of how to approach it. I'm going to lead you in a very general confession of primarily faith in Jesus Christ and a renunciation of any forces in your life which are from the realm of darkness, physical, emotional, marital, whatever it be. And then I'm going to just pray for those forces to be broken and for you to be released. And at that point, we never know what will happen next. Some people sometimes get a dramatic response. Other people get just as much help without any obvious, dramatic, physical experience. Don't look for an experience. Keep your eye on the Lord. Now, address this only to Jesus, not to me. I think it's good if you say it out loud because it gives more punch to it. And when you get to the end, don't bother about your neighbor, please. Just focus your mind on the Lord and whatever it is you need from Him. Would you say these words? Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I believe that You are the Son of God.
I believe that You are the Son of God.
And the only way to God.
And the only way to God.
That You died on the cross for my sins.
That You died on the cross for my sins.
And rose again from the dead.
And rose again.
On the basis of what you did for me,
on the basis of what you did for me,
I believe Satan's claims against me are canceled.
I believe Satan's claims against me are canceled.
And so now, Lord Jesus, I submit myself to you.
And so now, Lord Jesus, I submit myself to you.
I commit myself to serve and obey you.
I commit myself to serve and obey you.
And on that basis,
I take my stand
against every dark evil force that in any way has come into my life, whether it be through my own acts
or acts of my family
or of my ancestors
or of something larger that I'm a part of.
Wherever there's any darkness in my life,
any evil force,
Lord, I renounce it now.
I refuse any longer to submit to it.
And in the almighty name of Jesus,
the Son of God,
I take authority over all these evil forces.
I loose myself from them.
And I release myself entirely from their power.
I drive them from me now.
In the name of Jesus.
And I invite and invoke
the Holy Spirit of God
to move right in
and make my deliverance
and my liberation
fully effectual,
as only the Spirit of God can do.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
If you would like information about further teaching resources available from Derek Prince Ministries UK, please call us and request a copy of our latest resource guide on 01462 492 100. You may also visit our website at www.dpmuk.org or write to us at DPM UK, Kingsfield, Hadrian Way, Baldock, SG7 6AN.